1 Samuel 21. You get there, say amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 21. Boy, it's good to be saved, ain't it?
Yeah.
Woo! Just sitting there thinking, my Levi is singing. I'm standing in the pulpit, saved and on my way to heaven.
Yeah.
Just as sure as the sun comes up tomorrow, I'll wake up saved tomorrow too.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, man. Can't outdo His mercy. Thank God. 1 Samuel chapter number 21, if you're there, holler.
Amen.
Would you look with me at verse number 1? 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, Why art thou alone and no man with thee? David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place." Now, I'm going to stop reading right there. Keep your Bibles out. I'm going to look at a couple of more verses. You need to understand what's going on. Just a few chapters ago, David walks into the valley. And David faces the mighty giant Goliath, and with the swing or the swing of his sling, he lets go a rock, and the giant falls to the ground. And David picks up the giant sword and chops his head off.
Yeah.
Amen. I'd say that's a good day for David, wouldn't you?
Amen.
A lot of us, now we're going to get to where we're going in a minute. It doesn't stay there. David gets back to town, and Brother William, they've wrote songs about him. I mean, by the time the battle's over, they're already writing songs about him. David comes into the city, and they're singing and shouting and praising his name, and they're singing, "David, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s." And boy, I'm telling you, this is a great day in the life of David. No doubt about it. He's just a boy. I mean, he's just a young man at best, and God uses him in such a way and raises him up.
Yeah.
Now, every one of us who are saved, we have had great days of victory.
Yeah.
If you're born again, the greatest victory, Miss Zena, you'll ever have in your life was this morning. Hey, when you escaped the pits of the damned and change your eternal destiny to heaven. You didn't change it, but Jesus did. Man, that's the greatest victory in the heart of any child of God. Amen. Hey, listen, we've had many battles since the day we were saved. But the greatest battle and the greatest victory is in our salvation itself. Amen. Now, there's a lot of people who preach that this victory is where you are live all the time. I wish it was that way. I wish it was all dancing in the streets and cheering and songwriting. And I wish every Sunday morning could be like today was. I do. That way I could get used to that. How about you? Amen. I could just get used to that. I am used to that. As a matter of fact, the Lord has spoiled us pretty good. Amen. I remember when I got saved, Brother Fred. I'll never forget laying in the bed that night. I got saved, went home. I mean, it's a wee hours of the morning by the time we go to bed. And I'm laying there in the bed, and I'm wide awake, man. I mean, I'm pumped up, kind of like Miss Zena was this morning, just excited. Man, I'm saved.
Yeah,
and I remember laying there in that bed and thinking this. I honestly did in my heart. I'll never sin again. That's what I thought. Man, I felt so good. I felt like I had the power within me to never sin again. Never have another bad thought. Never do my wife wrong. Never do my brethren wrong. I am saved. I'll never sin again. Now, I wish I could live in that moment till Jesus comes. Somebody help me right there. But no sooner do you get saved, no sooner does God give a great victory in your life than the enemy shows up. While they're shouting in the streets and singing songs about David, jealousy begins to rise in the heart of Saul the king. Saul purposes in his heart to kill David. David tells his friend Jonathan, and he has to be convinced. And just in a few chapters, Saul has tried to kill him already 3 or 4 times. Now David, the great victor, the one they're cheering about, the one they're singing about, he's on the run. The one who God has just used in a mighty, mighty, mighty way is hiding. He's living in fear. Isn't it amazing how we can go from woo to overnight?
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, if you're facing so much opposition, God must be against you. You know, there are people who really preach and teach that kind of thing. If you're facing all this opposition, if you're trying to do something and everything goes wrong every which way you try to go, that must mean God's telling you this is not for you. No, that's a good sign you're going in the right direction.
Amen.
Amen. My granddaddy said, if they're kicking you in the tail, you must still be out front. That's just good old country wisdom right there, amen? If you're getting it from the backside, you must still be out front, so just keep on going, amen? I wish every day of the Christian life was, whoo, hallelujah, and glory to God. I wish it was like that. But no sooner do we come through a great victory and win a great battle, bam, there's the enemy facing us again and again and again and again and again and again. And instead of remembering what God has done in our past, we live in our nasty now and now. We get so overwhelmed by our circumstances. There are people in this room who used to shout, who used to praise the Lord, who used to sit there with tears of joy running down their face, and now they're stone cold. You say, well, they just got backslid. I'm not going to go that far. I'm just going to say circumstances crept up in their life. In the middle of their victory, in the middle of their shout, in the middle of their tears of joy, the enemy came this way and the enemy came that way. By the way, the devil is your enemy. Sin is your enemy. Temptation is your enemy. It'll mess you up. It'll trip you up. Are you listening? Self is your enemy. They sit there and they get so fired up and excited about the things of God, and somebody says, well, we fitting to rain on this parade. And we seem so quickly to forget. I want you to jump down to verse number 8. David's talking to the priest. He's asked for some food and they give him the hallowed bread and to his men. Anyway, they come down to verse number 8. And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword. Now there's a good sign. When you're in a battle, don't leave your sword at home. Now you got to understand something. David's already lying to the priest. When you start going away from God and you start running in fear instead of running in faith. You say that again, that just sounded good. When you start running in fear instead of running in faith, you're going to start messing up. Amen. David's running in fear of his life. He runs into the priest, and the priest says, what are you doing here? What are you doing alone? Why come you all by yourself? I'm on a special mission from the king. Yeah, you bet you are, you lying dog. You're running from the king because he's trying to nail your hide to the wall with his spear. He's lying. Through his teeth. Then he asked the preacher, he says, have you got a sword? Have you got a spear? I've left mine at home. Listen, when you're in the battle, we sing, Brother Todd played it tonight, if you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. Hey, we're in a battle. We're all soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You better make sure you got your sword handy at all times. Don't leave your sword at home. Amen. You never know when you might need it. Have you got one in your... This ain't got nothing to do with the message. It just come out at me. Have you got one in your vehicle?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I got one stays in my truck, man, at all times.
Amen.
I didn't do any much hunting this year, but I got one. I got a camouflage, waterproof Bible. Ain't that cool? I can read my Bible in the shower. My only problem is I don't have waterproof and fog-proof glasses, amen. But seriously, I got a Bible I keep in my backpack I carry deer hunting. What I'm trying to say is everywhere I go, I try to have the Word of God in some shape or form with me at all times. Why? Because I don't want to go into a battle. I don't want to enter into a fight without my greatest weapon. You'll read Ephesians where he talks about the whole armor of God. Hey, the only offensive weapon you have is that rascal right there. It's prayer and the Word of God. Hey, thank God. But David said, I hadn't got a sword. If you hadn't got a sword, it must mean you plan on not fighting. For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me because the king's business required haste. No, because you was in a hurry to get away from the king. Now watch verse number 9. Here's where I want to take my thought tonight. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Now watch this next phrase. Whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah. Behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. Here's what the priest said. David, we've got the sword. We've got the sword that killed the Goliath giant, the giant Goliath. We've got that sword here. And he had that thing wrapped in a cloth back behind the ephod. That thing had to be in the holy place. So let's just imagine for a minute David comes to church and said, I'm in a bad way. I don't have a sword. I don't have a spear. I've left my weapons. I'm vulnerable. Is there anything here? And the preacher says, well, there's the only sword we got is this great big sword that's the size of a weaver's beam over here. And I can imagine, as the priest began to unwrap that sword, and here's what I thought about for you and me tonight. He begins to unwrap that sword, and David looks at it, and look at the last part of this verse. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. There is none like that sword. Give it me. As that priest unwrapped that sword, David was not in shock. It wasn't, he didn't say, I've never seen a sword like that. That's not what he said. Because David had seen a sword like that. That sword, if you had DNA and fingerprints, you'd find David's on it. I'm wondering, as he unwrapped the sword, maybe Brother Jerry, there was some blood stains on that sword. And I imagine as David stood there in that holy place and looked at that great sword, the biggest sword anybody's ever seen, David looks at that sword, he's on the run, he's in fear for his life, but as he looks at that sword, memories begin to stir in his heart. Because that is the very sword this young man used to take the head of the giant Goliath. Now, there may not be a great sword stained with blood somewhere in your life, but there's a memory in the holy place. You may be in fear, more fearful than you've ever been. You may be at the verge of bankruptcy. You may be at the verge of divorce. You may have gotten a bad report to the doctor. But I guarantee you, if you're saved somewhere back along the line, wrapped up in a cloth, hid away somewhere, is a reminder of something great God has done in your life. We need to crawl up in the holy place tonight and say, oh God, is there not a sword? Is there not a spear? Is there not a remembrance that you love me and that you're for me and you're on my side? I can imagine as David stood there, and you ever looked at a situation or circumstance in your life and all of a sudden you remembered something and you say to yourself, what are you doing? Why are you allowing this to tear you up so bad? Don't you remember? Don't you remember days gone by? Hey, I guarantee you, some of you are in battles. Some of you are stressed out tonight. Some of you are about to wig out tonight over things that you've already overcome greater than what you're facing right now. Let me give you four simple thoughts tonight. When David saw this sword, I don't know what your sword is. I got some things in my mind, but I'm going to refrain them tonight because they're personal to me. I want you to find your sword. Whatever it is that gives you courage. Whatever it is that reminds you of things God's done in your life in the past. When they unwrapped that sword and David set his eyes on it, I mean, boy, the first thing out of his mouth was, "Whoo-hoo, they ain't none like that one." They unwrapped that thing, David said, "Now that's a sword. I know that sword. I've wielded that sword." Can you imagine the courage that should have came in the heart of David as he looked at that sword? But yet we find him at the end of the chapter slobbering like a madman. It didn't have the right effect. Just for a second, maybe. When he looked at it, he went, "Wow, I remember." You know what he remembered? David remembered a day when God stood with him. David remembered a day when God stood with him. David remembered a day, Brother Charles, when he walked into a situation that was five times his size, no way, no shape, he could win this battle on his own. Do you remember the statement that David made to Goliath that day? "This day, this day, my God will deliver you into my hand." Amen. We get a little victory and we get full of me, myself, and I. Look what we did. Look what I did. You better not leave God out of that situation. Hey, it wasn't David in his power. It wasn't David in his sling. It was a mighty power of God. Hey, acting upon the faith of the young shepherd boy that day as he walked into that valley. He did not walk into that valley alone. He walked into that valley arm in arm with God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. Hey, I believe God's whispering from heaven. I believe the Holy Spirit's in the ear of little David. "It's okay, son. I got your back. Just let her fly, son. Let her rip, tater chip. You knock him in the head, I'll knock him in the back. Hey, we're going to win this battle today." Why? Because God is with you. If God be for us, come on, if God be for us, greater is he that is what? In me than he that is in the world. I don't know what you're facing, but crawl up in the holy place. Unwrap that sword tonight and remember a day when God stood with you. We need some people to get some courage to fight again. There was a day when you did fight. There was a day when you did stand for right. But you've rolled over and you've quit. And you're just licking your wounds and having a pity party. Hey, unwrap the sword tonight. And remember the day when God stood by you. I remember kneeling in the little room in the Ronald McDonald House and having words. I'm talking about having words with God. I let God have it. I remember the very next night, God coming back and meeting with me. I met with God that first night. Yeah. I let God have it. I told him what I thought about my son being in a coma and left it at that. The next night, the Holy Spirit sat down on my bedside and said, "That conversation we started last night, we're not done. You said your piece and I listened. It's my turn." You know what God let me know? I wasn't in that Ronald McDonald House all by myself. And my son wasn't laying in a coma all by himself. And God let me know that however the thing turned out, whether he lived or whether he died, whether he spent the rest of his life as an invalid, in a comatose state or as a vegetable, whatever the case may have been, a cripple in a wheelchair, God let me know, hey, I've been with you this far. I'm with you right now, and I'll be with you for the rest of the way. Thank God for the day that God stood with me. God has stood by our side time after time after time after time. And we ought to be shouting the roof off. We ought to be swinging from the chandelier saying, whoopee, and God is good, because God has delivered time and time and time and time and time again. God showed up when we wasn't even hunting Him. God's been there when we wasn't even expecting Him. God's been there when we didn't deserve for God to be there. God's been there in our backslidden condition. God's been there when our hearts were cold and our lives were not right. And out of His mercy and out of His great love, God has stood by our side day in and day out and day in and day out and time and time and time and time again. Unwrap the sword tonight. Find you some courage. And to fight another day and to live another day. As David looked at that sword, he had to be encouraged in his heart, because he remembered a day when God stood with him. Do you remember? Just back a few chapters ago, David tried on Saul's armor. And it was too much for him. He put the armor off of him and said, I can't wear that. I hadn't proved it. I ain't man enough to carry it. But then somehow, by the power of God, he picks up a sword the size of a weaver's beam. Man, this thing's bigger than a pole axe. I mean, it's huge. And chops off the head of Goliath. Why? Because God stood with him. You're where you are today because God has stood with you.
Amen.
Jason Crow ain't sitting here tonight because of some program. It wasn't a program that got him off the meth and amphetamine. Hey, if all he had is a program, he might have had a dry spell, but he'd have fell off the wagon and be smoking dope tonight or shooting it in his vein. But it wasn't a program. It is a person of the Holy Spirit of God who said, you made up your mind and in your heart, I got your back. I'll stand through this battle with you. I guarantee you, since the day he got victory over that, there's been battle after battle after battle. And as God's children, we sit and we twiddle our thumbs, we wring our hands and go, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, God, there's a right approach. How are we going to get through this? How'd you get through that last one? Did God stand with you back there?
Amen.
Some of you are about to give up, and you're not. You fought battles 10 times bigger than what you're in right now.
Amen.
And God's brought you through, and God's gave you the victory, and God's proved to you time and time again what the Lord said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hey, thanks be unto God, the Lord stands with me.
Amen.
Brother Freddie talked about being in fear of handing out a gospel tract. I don't never hand out one of these things by myself. Amen. I never witness on an airplane by myself. You know what make people nervous? I sit down on an airplane. I don't even have to open my mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Lay that right there.
Amen.
Ain't got to say a word. Just open it.
Yeah.
People get nervous. Look at this. 6'1", 165 pounds, soaking wet. My biggest muscles are right here. There's nothing about me that should make grown men nervous. It's not me. It's the one who sat down on the plane with me.
Yes, sir, brother.
I don't know what I got to go through tomorrow, but I know this, I ain't got to go through it by myself. And I don't know what you're going through right now, but I know you ain't by yourself. Quit sniveling. Quit lying about why you're where you are.
Yeah.
We ain't no different than David.
Amen.
What are you doing out here all by yourself? I'm on a mission from God. That's basically what he said. I'm on strict business for the king. Shh, it's secret. Don't tell nobody. Then you find him here at the end of the chapter. He's scrabbling at the gate, acting like a foaming at the mouth. Acting like a wild, like an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you just don't understand. This has happened. Gets our little violin. Somebody call the wambulance. I'm not making light of anybody's trouble. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making fun of the stuff you're going through. I'm just saying you've already shouted the victory in the past over something bigger than what you're facing now. And you got through that because God stood with you. When David looked at that sword behind the ephod wrapped in that cloth, there's the problem. It's hid. It's wrapped up. Man, you need to unwrap that thing. Whatever it is in your life, whatever that sword is that reminds you of what God's done, you need to put that thing on display where you can see that and be reminded of a victory in your life every single day. He saw that sword and he remembered that God had stood with him. Listen, maybe he realizes as he looked at that sword, I'm running. Literally running and hiding for my life from the one who was afraid of the giant I killed. I'm running from the one who didn't have the guts, who was so afraid he gave me his own armor. That's who I'm running from. I'm running from the one that Jesus put at bay the night I got saved. I'm running and in fear of the one that Jesus kicked out of heaven all them years ago.
Amen.
What I'm saying is that sword reminded him, hey, me and the Lord together, we beat something bigger than this. If we got through that, we can get through this. David's reminded that the Lord stood with him. Listen, he's not only reminded of that, he's reminded that one day God gave him a great victory. God gave him a great victory. We've known some victories around here. Oh, me and Brother Tom, we get tore up by the finances. Brother Tom gets tore up and that gets me tore up. And I have to say every now and then, Brother Tom, you remember that night? You remember when we had that second mortgage? You remember that?
Maybe.
Remember when we had that second mortgage, $250,000, and it was coming due and we didn't have the money? We couldn't pay the first mortgage, much less the second mortgage. And God just absolutely forgave that debt. And we put a trash can right there on top of the pulpit and we set fire to that mortgage and burned it right in the middle of the church. And we all shouted the victory over it. Hey, let's don't look at what we can do. Let's remember what God has done. God's gave us victory over here. He's gave us victory right here. And bless God, I believe he'll give us victory right here.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, oh, that church is going under. If we was going under, we'd have done it a long time ago.
Amen.
I'm convinced we're here for the long haul.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. When we bought this building, every preacher in town, I was the talk of the town. Still am every now and then. That ain't necessarily a good thing. Oh, he's lost his mind. I give them 6 months, they'll be bankrupt. That bunch of hicks can't afford that place. Never claimed we could. Never claimed we could afford this place. Never one time as a pastor did I stand before the pulpit and say, we can do this. We have the resources. We have the finances. No, I was honest from the get-go. We ain't got the money. I ain't got a clue where the money's coming from. All I know is God said go, and that's what I want to do is mine God. And that was about 17 years ago. And here we are all this time later. Every payment happened, good God Almighty. Every payment has been paid. Every debt has been met. Oh, somebody help me tonight. God has given us great victory in the past. Isn't it amazing how we go from victory to depression? It's human nature. Because we want to look through our natural eyes. Well, use your natural eyes and look back every now and then. I'm talking to drunks and dope heads. I got tickled at my daughter. I hope she can hear me in the nursery. I text her this morning during Sunday school. I said, is Brother Todd going to make it? And she texts me back. She said, yes, he's in fun day school. She hit an F instead of an S. I text her back with big capital letters, fun day school. Is he in Miss Irene's class? She texts me back. She said, ah, LOL, I do that all the time. She said, I text Todd the other day and told him, bring me a drunk home from work. She said, I'm in a drink. I love you, baby. I had to tell that one. Amen. Of all people, I asked to bring home a drunk. She asked Tom. Oh, how many you want? Had one. Just any little cupboard you see in Atlanta. There's one passed out. Just load him up. Probably David, as Ahimelech unwraps that thing, David looks at that sword. It's got that wah. It's the way I was looking at your car this morning. Wah. I'd pray 30 minutes before church started just to get in. Anyway, he looked at that sword, and I imagine he heard singing. I bet David looked at that sword. Probably been a few days since he remembered the song. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. He remembers that song. He probably remembers that roar as he danced into the city, rejoicing over a great victory. Maybe he can hear David. And he thinks, boy, victory sure was sweet. You need to remember the sweetness of the victory God's given you. Amen. You need to remember those days. Hey, unwrap that sword tonight. Amen. Go back there and visit that place where God stood with you. Amen. And understand, if he stood with you there, he'll stand with you here. Yes, sir. He's not left you to face this, whatever it is, all alone. You know what I found out, Brother Greg? Sometimes the devices are the messes of my own making. Yeah, that's right. When God should have said, like my mother, you made your bed, lay in it. You deserve everything you're getting. Over and over, Brother Allen, God has said, I'm still with you.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm still with you. I'll help you up. If you want up. I'll help you march on.
Yes, sir.
If you want to march. I'll give you another victory party. If you want another victory party. But first you're going to have to get over this pity party.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
You're going to have to stop singing woe is me and get back to singing great is the Lord. You're going to have to stop the doom, despair, and agony on me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Anybody remember that? Doom, despair. And that sounds like a lot of you. Whoa, they go like, y'all remember Hee-Haw? That's like some of y'all. I just picture a hound dog laying at your feet.
crawl out of that mess.
Amen.
Yes,
sir, preacher.
You need some help.
Yeah.
Amen. I ain't talking about charter neither. You need to get back to where the Lord stood with you.
Amen.
You need to get back to that place where God gave you a great victory. He was reminded that the Lord stood with him. He was reminded that he experienced a great victory over an enemy that was bigger than the one he's facing now. Thirdly, he remembers that one day God defeated his greatest enemy. I imagine as David looks at that sword, Brother Jerry, and I'm reading into this, I know, but I know when y'all would work those crime scenes, you said it ain't nothing like CSI, right? They do all that in an hour. Took y'all 6 months, amen? Anyway, they look at that sword, and they do that trace, and they find that blood and that DNA. I imagine old David looks at that sword and sees that blood stain. And David remembers reaching down and grabbing a double handful of hair. It's all he can do. Just lift his head. And holds up the head of his enemy. A lot of us has got to experience that. Sister Peg McCamey used to sing, "The battle is his, the victory is ours, and victory is sweet." It wasn't God that waved that head around. God did it, but he let David get the victory. We've got some enemies laid dead behind us. Cocaine. Marijuana. Budweiser. Tequila. Jim Beam. Let me just keep on. The Marlboro Man. We've got some enemies back yonder that are still dead. Every time they've tried to raise their head, God's let us stab them again. But yet some little something creeps up. We're not going to make it. I just don't know what to do. And we allow the circumstances in our life to take the joy, the happiness, and the victory. It's almost like none of that ever happened. And we just sat in the house of God, miserable. I watched some of you this morning. I know I shouldn't have been paying attention to you, but I can't help it. I'm your pastor. There's a lady over here getting born again. There's a lady over here getting born again. The Holy Spirit's in this place as thick as mayonnaise on a mater sandwich. This is your countenance. Swamp people does more for you than the Holy Ghost. You sit and shed more tears over Hallmark movies during Christmas. You're emotional over make-believe stuff. But it ain't even real. God moves in like he did this morning, you didn't feel nothing. You need to unwrap the ephod tonight. You need to find that sword. Remember how God stood with you, how God gave you the victory. He let you take the credit. Really hoping you'd give it back to him. And he defeated some of the greatest enemies you ever faced in your life. They're laying back yonder dead. And you sit here lifeless. Can I give you one more and I'm done? I don't know how much time's lapsed between chapter 17 and 21. Not a whole lot. But David looks at that sword. And David looks at himself. There's no doubt just the sight of that sword, Brother Allen, was overwhelming. I remember when I was little, Brother Stacy, we played ball for Brother J.P. Denton. Dorsey and David Denton were my heroes. JP's boys. I'll never forget me and Donnie, that was Dorsey and David's little brother, we're the same age. Dorsey had a blue bat. This is before they had aluminum. It was a blue wooden bat. And every time Dorsey batted, just about every time, that ball went over the fence. I thought it was the bat. I thought, oh man, that's the best bat in the whole world. I can remember looking at the top of that bat. They used to have the size stamped in. I believe it said 38, Brother Freddie, on top of that bat. I remember our game was about to start. Dorsey and them was playing after us. I went over to the stands. Dorsey was sitting with Miss Frederica's mama. I said, Dorsey, can I use your blue bat? And he laughed at me. I said, I want to hit a home run like you do. And Dorsey handed me his bat. And I realized it wasn't a bat. It was Dorsey. That's all I could do to pick it up. Much less swing it. I held that bat and it reminded me of how great a bat that was and how little I was. I handed the bat back to Dorsey and said, I'm not big enough. But one day, I'm going to get to swing that blue bat. I imagine as David looked at that sword, he remembered, well, that's a big old sword. I couldn't even carry Saul's armor. Now, this guy's at least four heads taller than Saul. This sword's bigger than a weaver's beam. Gives the weight of it and everything. It's humongous. David looks at that big old sword. And David looks at his little old self. He remembers the day that God stood with him. He remembers the day that God gave him a great victory. He remembers the day that God defeated a great enemy. But listen to this. He remembers the day that God used something as small and as insignificant as he was. To wield and handle a sword as great as that one was. I'm reminded of a day when God took somebody as small and as insignificant as I am and put in my hands the blue bat. I said, God, I've never preached before. He said, it's okay, son, I have. God, I don't know your word like I should. It's okay, son, I wrote it. You just take me with you. I'll help you swing that bat every single time.
Yes, sir. Amen.
This afternoon, I went home and I went into my study. And I opened the cabinet drawer up under my bookshelf and I pulled out an old Scofield Bible. Cover's gone off of it. I began to thumb through that Bible. That's my first Bible. I turned over there to Lamentations, where I preached my first message. It's still highlighted and underlined. Reminded me how small I am. How big my God is. Battles. Man, they're going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming until Jesus takes us home. But I'll be honest with you. In 29 years, I fought some big ones. But The greatest one was my first one. The battle over my own soul. And if I got through that, Zena, you just got in this thing. You left here with victory today. And if you can get victory there, you can get it anywhere. Because he'll stand with you. No matter what you're facing, he'll stand with you. Promised you he would. He'll give you courage to stand. He'll go with you. He'll give you victory. He may even let you hold up the head of your enemy. He may let you dance. He may let you sing. I heard an old story about a Savior who came from glory. May let you sing a little victory in Jesus. May give you a song like there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. He'll give you victory over your enemies. If you'll come back and unwrap that sword tonight, you may be reminded of a day that God chose. Not a pulpit committee, not a board of directors. God chose you to get on a bus, to pick up some of his choices, children. God chose you to stand and teach a Sunday school class. I walked into my son's class this morning. I was shocked. Wall to wall. I thought, wow. They don't know him. They'd leave. He's retarded. I'm kidding. Boy, I walked in my office and I thought, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for using my boy. Letting him make a difference, impact somebody's life. Hallelujah. I look around at this place. Look around at your faces. Everywhere I go, people, how did you do this? How do y'all do? We just go with him. There's no plan. You can't write a book on it. People have seminars. How to do this. How to build that. Ooh, I'd rather just let God do it.
Amen.
Give him the glory for it all. God stood with us. Over the years, God has used people as insignificant as we are. In a room this size and this many people, I guarantee you, there's not over 5 college degrees in the bunch. If there's more than that, I'd be shocked. If there's more than that, you'll start acting like you know something. What I'm saying is we're just a bunch of simple people. And God chose to use us. There's a lot more qualified. I guarantee you, brother, there's people with experience, professional, who could start a Victory Valley Ranch down here. But he wasn't looking for a professional. He's looking for some people who don't know how to get out of a shower of rain, but will just trust him and follow him. Won't you crawl up in the holy place tonight? You hadn't even thought about it in a long time, but it's still in there. Unwrap that thing tonight. Whatever it is, whatever your sword is, whatever God's used in your life, remember that he stood with you. Remember that he gave you victory. Remember that he defeated your enemy, and remember he used somebody as little as you to win a victory as big as that. And remember, if he done it then, he'll do it now. He'll do it tomorrow. He'll do it again and again and again. Brother Todd, would you come? Let's stand our feet tonight. I never gave you a title, but I'll just say it like this. David looked at that sword, and here's what he thought. Ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like it. Brother Todd, if you got a verse on your heart, that'd be good. Whatever you want to do, brother. Let's mind God tonight. Let the Lord do something in your heart. Leave here encouraged.